In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text this Good Friday is our psalm, Psalm 22. Brothers and sisters in Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me? These ominous words our Lord cries from the cross. We also heard them earlier in Psalm 22. But the question is, who is quoting whom? If Jesus is quoting David, as most assume, then much less time is spent thinking about what he actually says than on how he's using these words of old, either alluding to the whole psalm, particularly to the end, thus getting out of the problem of the opening words, or suggesting his piety of prayer, finding some meaning while on the cross. But what if it's actually Jesus speaking? What if these words are Jesus' words first and David's words second? What if Jesus means what he says and David prophetically overhears the whole thing and then tells us? Before we can think about that, what that might mean, we've got to figure out how it could be. And the short answer is, that's just how Scripture works. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh, St. John writes. Jesus is the reality, the substance, the action of God's living will. And the prophets and apostles are given to see and to hear what Jesus says and what he does. They are witnesses to Jesus, taking what belongs to him and then giving it to others. This means King David, as a prophet, foresaw the crucifixion of Jesus 1,000 years before Pilate, as did Isaiah when he spoke of the suffering servant who was despised and rejected by men. The suffering servant who has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. The suffering servant who was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and had the chastisement laid upon him that brought us peace, so that by his wounds we are healed. Getting this order right sheds incredible light on the Old Testament. It is all about Jesus. It's all Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, from Moses to Malachi to John, it is all about Jesus. His incarnation, his ascension, centering on his death and resurrection and his coming again. All the prophets and apostles bear witness to Christ and him crucified. The whole Scripture bears witness to Jesus. You search the Scriptures, Jesus says, because in them you think that you have eternal life. But it is they that bear witness about me. Now, if that is how Scriptures work, inviting us to let go of and be free from our typical timelines and find meaning in the reality which is and happens before it is even witnessed with eyes, then there are two things that immediately jump out when Jesus prays. My God, why have you forsaken me? First, what does it mean for the Father to forsake the Son? And second, why does Jesus ask why? To be forsaken is to move away from. It's to take away protection and blessing and to give someone over to suffering and to death. To forsake someone is to break the covenant solidarity that one has, like in a family or a marriage. When it comes to God, we typically find it this way. Because Israel has forsaken the Lord has forsaken Israel. We can all understand well enough why God would forsake us. We know our sin. We know how often and how severely we have gone astray, how we have chased after other gods and above all tried to make ourselves the God of gods. What I want, what goes for my life, what I think should happen, that rules the day, and nothing else should get in the way. But what about Jesus? He is like us in all things, Hebrews says, sharing in flesh and blood, even being tempted as we are, except without sin. And it's this without sin part that doesn't make sense when we hear Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus has not forsaken the Father. But more troubling yet, and the deeper theological question, how can God forsake God? Can the Holy Trinity be pulled apart? Can the Father turn his back on his Son without destroying his very being? And if the Holy Spirit is the unity of love that the Father and the Son share, what does this forsaking part mean for the Spirit? It's these questions that tempt us away from taking seriously the cry of dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's far easy to simply say that Jesus felt abandoned. And it's true. Sometimes we feel abandoned too. But by talking about feelings here, we avoid any true and real abandonment. Of course, we say, God never leaves us. He's always there. You're not alone. And if that is all true, then we're not actually abandoned. We only feel that way. But our Lord on the cross isn't talking about feelings like you and I. There is a real abandonment. There is a real giving over to death. Jesus really is forsaken by his Father. And now the question is why? It is the mystery of the cross. But it is not a mystery of the two natures of Christ, as if it were just the human nature suffering and doubting and fearing and lamenting. It is a mystery much more profound and far richer than that. For here, the whole Christ, God and man, cry out with agony. Here, the whole Christ, God and man, cry out to God with his own voice, the lament that belongs to another. The lament that belongs to you and to me. This Christ, this God, man, endures and cries out with our sin, our agony. And yet the Lord endures it all. The Christ, both God and man, together, inseparably joined as one in the flesh of Jesus. The why of the cross holds together the sinless one who became sin for us. It is the union of God and man, the bridegroom and bride, Christ and the church, the righteous and the sinful. Why have you forsaken me? Christ asks, confessing his own faithfulness as well as the sin that drips from his wounds, your sin and mine. This is why the profound agony of God that comes from his love and his promise to man is breathtakingly beautiful. Because the answer to the why is you. Christ is forsaken, and you are drawn near. Christ is abandoned, and you are found. Christ bears the full wrath of the Father, and you inherit his kindness, His mercy, His love, and His forgiveness, which knows no end. This is the mystery of the cross. For here, God is against God, even without breaking apart. Here is God at work for you, reconciling you to Himself and not counting your sins against you. And so tonight's lament from Psalm 22 is actually and primarily a lament of Jesus. It's God's crying out to God, begging to be heard, trusting that this abandonment is not the end. For He is faithful to His Father and learns obedience through what He suffers. And by His suffering, abandonment, and death, we and all of creation are brought back to the Father. We are reconciled to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are no longer an enemy of God. You are God's own dear child, holy and beloved because you have been bought with His own blood, marked with His own cross, and loved unto death, redeemed by Christ the crucified. And while always a bit mysterious to us on this side of heaven, still, all of this is God's doing in love for us, His fallen creation. And all of this is God's mercy for us sinners, now saints and children of the living God. And this is what makes Good Friday for us oh so good. The mercy of God and the love of God for sinners in Jesus Christ. It is absolutely breathtaking, beautiful, and marvelous in our eyes.